You're looking good.
Nice haircut.
Thank you. Hey everybody, thanks for joining us this week on Channel 9. Your hosts for today, we are Jeremy Foster.
And I am Steve Hsiao. What do you do, Jeremy?
I am a developer evangelist here at Microsoft, and I'm one of the rolling hosts of This Week on Channel 9. This happens to be my first edition hosting the show, so
fantastic.
We're going to have a lot of fun with it. If you want to find me online, I'm at codefoster.com and on Twitter, at codefoster. How about you, Steve?
I am a former reality star. No, I'm not. I am a startup evangelist for the company, and my job is to help startups, big and small, be successful on our platform. And we are your special host today.
And how do they find you online?
They can find me on Twitter. Steve, S-E-O-W, is my Twitter.
Pronounced Hsiao.
Steve Hsiao,
just
excellent. Like meow with an S. And we've got some really exciting stuff. Should we jump right in?
Let's do it. First of all, we have got the content from the Connect event. Mm-hmm. Connect is a very overloaded term, but Connect was also an event that happened in November.
That's right.
And now all of the downloads for that event are available. We're talking sample codes, slide decks, all kinds of stuff that's available to you now.
Yeah. Sounds like
good.
They had a lot of fun, and this was the shuttle,
yeah.
My shuttle app.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those of you who are Unity fans or even not Unity fans, we have good news for you. It's the Visual Studio Tools for Unity. And what blew me away about this is that look at the support that it goes right back. It goes back to 2000 Visual Studio 2010.
Oh, I know. It's amazing.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
I don't know why you'd be using 2010, but if you're still using 2010. It's
available.
You
better upgrade.
Yeah, and mind you, it's in preview mode, but I think it's pretty solid.
Yeah, and I think the real offering here is that they introduced it to Visual Studio 2015 preview. So if
That's
you
right.
want to live on the edge and use the preview edition of, mm-hmm. of Visual Studio 2015, it works.
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, what's next? OmniSharp. Okay, now, I was just at an mm-hmm. event with Scott Hanselman where we were talking, he was talking about this, and it was blowing my mind. I tweeted about this. I saw with my own eyes Sublime, Emacs, Vim, these editors that, you know, these like real raw, low-level editors, you know Vim,
yep.
you know how it works.
Yep.
And I saw these editors with IntelliSense from Visual Studio, just like Visual Studio, IntelliSense from C#,
yeah.
the language, coming right in, just blew my
yeah.
mind.
Yeah, I use Sublime frequently, so it's I like it.
Well,
it's
there you go.
News. Yeah.
And you know what? I think this is a bold move by the Visual Studio guys saying, mm-hmm. Basically, we know that our editor is the best, and so we may as well bring some of this awesome out of Visual Studio.
Yeah.
And actually, let me be clear, this isn't a first-party Microsoft tool, but just the fact that it exists for these other editors is pretty cool.
Oh, it is. It is. Blew me away.
All right. What's next, Steve?
So let's step into the Windows Phone world for a little bit. Now, this is really useful if you are taking a trip into our mobile platform for the first time, because what Mohammed has done is to lay out a almost like a development best practices, if you will. Now, think about that. If you want to have a good idea of what are the resources, what are the best practices from beginning to the end of building your Windows Phone app, and you wish there were just links in one slide, this is it.
There it is, there's
right?
the slide.
It's, everything is there, and those if you cannot see on a screen, you can find it in our notes, but what you see are those little font are actually...
I can't even read it on my screen.
Yeah, we can't read it either. But these are actually links that he has compiled for you to click on, and it'll bring you to the right resource. They'll talk more about that stage of development, if you're testing, if you're starting to look into certification, and things like that.
Excellent.
Super useful.
That's pretty awesome.
We should have it for every single...
Yeah, thing. That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And it doesn't matter that you can't read this on the screen right now, because you go to the show notes, click the link, you've got this slide. It's a lot of data on one slide. I like that.
Yep.
Okay, well, look at this. Also announced at the Connect event in November, iOS build and debugging with the Visual Studio tools for Apache Cordova. Now, let me just break this down for you. Cordova is this ability to take a web app, HTML, JavaScript app, and make it cross-platform. So it's going to work on Windows, Windows Phone, Android, iOS, all these different platforms. Cordova's been around for a while, and it's worked great, but I've done some projects in Cordova, and it wasn't exactly fun to work in the tooling and in the environment.
Yeah.
And then Visual Studio said, let's bring it in as a first-class citizen. Let's create the Cordova tooling. That's what I like to call it. Also known as the hybrid app, multi-device hybrid apps toolkit for Visual Studio. And with this latest release, we now not only have ushered it into Visual Studio 2015 preview. So again, if you like living on the cutting edge, you're going to have your Cordova tooling right there on the cutting edge. And it also allowed for debugging on a Mac.
Wow.
Now, it's pretty neat the way this works. What it essentially does is it takes a JavaScript remote debugging file and uploads it to the server, and then that's what you connect to. That kind of acts as your proxy on the remote machine. And so then you can debug to that remote Mac from Visual Studio with these tools installed.
But just to be clear, you still need a Mac OS, a Mac device.
It still has to exist there, yep.
Not our choice.
It's not entirely emulated or, yeah. That's right. This is pretty neat. I've had some fun with this toolkit. I've also been having fun with this. This is the Node tools in Visual Studio. Mm-hmm. And here is a link to a really good article by John Papa, the infamous John Papa, who has some great content out there. And I've been having a blast with Node lately. And then to bring it into Visual Studio and make it such a strong first-class citizen, I mean, the tooling in Visual Studio is phenomenal. I mean, it gives you NPM support, Grunt, Gulp, Bower, all of these client-side kind of scrappy languages and frameworks that folks like myself that are doing web development or HTML and JavaScript development are used to.
Yeah.
All of those are brought right into Visual Studio. So now I have the option of either doing everything at the command line or using some really cool graphical tools in Visual Studio. And hey, sometimes I like to do one, sometimes I like to do the other. Personally, I'm more of a command line guy, but you know.
Now, for those of you who are still stuck deep into client development, take a look at Node.js.
Yeah.
It's in a nutshell, it's JavaScript on the server side, and it's powerful, we love it, and worth a look for sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk a little bit more about it later too.
Fantastic.
All right. The Docker client from Windows and getting ASP.NET vNext up and running using that Docker client. This is pretty awesome. Once again, if you're one of those folks, you've probably got Visual Studio 2015 preview installed because you like living on the edge. You probably want to try out ASP.NET vNext already. Mm-hmm. And one way you can do that really easily is by installing it via Docker. Now, Docker is some cool technology. It's easily the most popular container technology. If you don't know what containers are, just think of VMs without the M. It's like virtual machines without the machine sitting underneath it. So it's just your app and all of its dependencies all packaged up into one thing and then able to run anywhere. Well, we've got the Docker client on Windows, so you can go get Docker installed, run it at the command line, and now you can go ahead and interact with Docker by adding these entries into your Docker file and spinning
That's
it up
cool.
and trying things out.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen ASP.NET vNext, Scott Hanselman at the event the other day was showing the ASP.NET vNext goodness, and my, was it phenomenal. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty mind-blowing, to be honest.
Fantastic.
All right. Now, next, I'm going to talk about this one again as well, because I'm super excited about this one. What this is the ability to interact with Azure at the command line, but not using the awesome PowerShell library of commands, but using Node instead. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and just open a little window here, and I'm going to show you how I can type in here, Azure, site, there we go, Azure, site, list. And it's going to take just a little bit of time, but it's actually going to go to my Azure portal, and it's going to come back with a list of the websites that I have running in Azure right now.
Very cool.
And it's all using Node, and you can see that these commands that we use for doing this are really short. So look, it's pulled back a list of all of these websites that I'm currently running. Same thing, you could do Azure site create, and bam, you just provided a name and a location, and it's going to create a site for you.
Oh, you're busy.
How slick is that, huh? Yeah, I've got a few things going
Very
on.
Cool.
Yeah, I need to get a life. All right, what's next?
Well, now for those of you who, again, I think I'm jumping on the crowd that it's not has not touched the cloud platforms yet. take a look at Bob Tabor's tutorial and a series of tutorials, I should say, where he goes, where he starts at ground zero to talk about Windows Azure. I went through it. It was pretty cool. If you have, I'm not sure how long the entire thing is, mm-hmm. but it's definitely a aim for the fundamental stuff. Ramping up sort of a tutorial is pretty good.
You know, even with a little bit of experience, I love going back to the fundamentals courses. I always pick up things I didn't know.
Yeah, and Bob is one of our distinguished, you know, MVPs, I believe.
Bob Phenomenal Tabor, I think, is his full name.
Cool.
All right, what about this?
Yes, now we start to get into a bit of the fun stuff, right? So, you know, with the recent cases of breaches in many established retail stores and stuff. It makes you wonder, is my name out there? Is my email address out there? Is my blah, blah, blah? So there's a site where you can go to, just punch in your email address and see what they find.
Yeah.
And you can find more information in the notes. And what this is a breakdown of how these guys have deployed their whole infrastructure on Azure,
okay.
which is pretty cool. As you can see, they broke down how they lined up the CDN and the website and deployment all running on Azure, which is pretty cool.
I love these reference architectures.
Great, beautiful art too, right?
It's a
great way to sort of get a good overview of how the whole thing hangs together and how Azure can address every single layer of their architecture.
Well, now the obvious question, did you put your email address in there and have you been pwned?
I did, and I'm good.
You're good, yeah, me too. I had to enter my email address though.
You can't help it.
Yeah, you can't help it. You have to wonder though, if you enter your email address, if they're just collecting, but they're not, because all it is your email address.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, this next one's pretty exciting. I actually have not signed up for this yet, but I can't wait to go home and try it. This is like, I'm not a big gamer because sometimes when I'm playing games, I just feel like I'm not using my brain enough. I'm using a lot of like hand-eye coordination, but I'm not really thinking. This one's kind of like a thinking game. It's the MMO strategy for programmers.
I don't like
programmers.
Thinking game. I can't do thinking
Oh,
games.
Come on. You're a developer. I've seen your
short
work.
Short attention span.
Well, this is supposedly the MMO for programmers. Like you get in there, you write some JavaScript, and you kind of put your JavaScript in effect, and then just kind of like on, was it, there are some popular games, I forgot which ones I'm thinking of, that you would set them in motion, and then even when you signed out and went to work, they were still working on your behalf and collecting things and whatever, and then you come back to it and you see how well they've done. Well, just like that, you put some code into motion, and then it runs while you're sleeping or working or whatever.
Pretty cool.
And then you come back and you see how well your script did against the other developers. But rest assured, even if you're like brand new to programming, you can still get into this. It's not like a really high bar where you have to know a ton in order to compete.
Yeah.
You can still get into it even if you're a beginner. And apparently, I haven't tried it yet, but apparently it's a really good way to learn a language. So I like that.
Yeah, I should try it out. And the next story is something that we all have probably heard of by now. It's all over the news. So if you have not looked into it, pretty much it boiled down to the numeric type that was used, right? And so I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure it was YouTube at that time before they were acquired.
At some point, they made that decision,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, to use the 32-bit integer. And so when they hit 2 billion and change,
things. Bam, all of a sudden they can't hold
it. It didn't really crash, did it?
Yeah, no.
All it did was the counter went to negative or something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
And I never really looked into it enough to know, did it actually show negative on the site, or did they anticipate it and get it fixed beforehand?
I think they corrected it. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure if people saw negative. Who cares?
Yeah.
But, you know. So out of that 2 billion, probably 100 million is from me, for my daughter. So it's I'm sure this will make it into the computer science textbooks.
It'll be in the museums, right?
Right, museums, right. So they broke all records.
That's tremendous.
Very funny.
Should we move on?
Yeah.
Okay, what about this one?
Yeah, this is another, this is a flashback to the 80s. Now, if you were to take a look at this and you see what this guy, these guys have done, and that character there initially I thought was Psy doing his dancing thing. It wasn't. It's actually, is it Rick Astley? From
Dude, don't ask me.
It's the guys from the 80s who sang that cheesy song, Never Gonna Give You Up. That guy.
Gotcha.
So so there you go.
And does it look like it?
No, I guess so.
There it is.
Well, this is probably not the approved way to use Visual Studio.
This is not why they made it.
This is not why we made Visual Studio, but hey.
Hey, but it's pretty impressive that this preview feature can do full frame animation.
Yeah.
And pretty impressive full frame animation, if you ask me.
How long did it take them to just put this together?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think these guys need to get on that Screeps game.
That's right.
Spend some time.
Yeah, I know.
All right, time for Picks of the Week.
Now, do they play a drum roll here?
I think so. Pick of the Week. It looks like I'm drumming, but I'm not actually drumming. I'm getting exercise cred on my Microsoft Band.
Excuse me, Microsoft Band.
Okay, here's my Pick of the Week. My Pick of the Week is this toy that I've been playing with for a few days now, and it's a lot of fun. Okay, I've got a little diagram up here for you, so I've got Visual Studio on the left. Of course, I'm using Visual Studio to write Node using the Node.js tools that we were talking about.
Awesome.
So you go to Node.js tools on CodePlex and you get these tools, install them into Visual Studio. It works in 2013, it works in 15 preview, and you write your Node app. Okay, but in your Node app, you can create a dependency on a library called Cylon that's really good at talking to robots, devices, things like that. And then I can deploy this project over to my Intel Edison. And an Intel Edison is a little Atom processor with built-in Wi-Fi and Bluetooth LE all in one little package.
Yep.
And it's deceiving because it looks gigantic on the screen here, but that package is actually, I brought one in, but I don't have it on me. That package is actually not much bigger than a quarter. It's really, really small.
Yep.
So it's this little tiny board, and then these little red modules that you see, you stack them all up, and one of them might be an accelerometer with magnetometer and gyrometer and all this stuff. And the other one might be a pin breakout, so you can just connect it up to some light bulbs or whatever you want. Well, now you send this Node project over to the Edison, and bam, the thing starts spinning. Your robot starts walking or whatever you want it to happen.
Amazing.
And the cool thing about this is that the Node.js tools, like I alluded before, they allow remote debugging on Mac and Linux machines.
Yeah.
And so this Edison,
how cool is that?
This is a Linux machine. So bam, remote debugging to a device. That means that I can step through and I can watch my little robot move or whatever with each step of the key.
We should do a challenge where we use these chips to build like destructive robots.
You know, absolutely. Destruction
They have a little tiny little coffee cup size robots to compete.
Little bitty ones, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just love the idea that I'm basically writing in this high level language and then I'm hitting F5 and all of a sudden, by way of my Edison, I'm talking to a whole bunch of devices like this. All kinds of little, it might be water sensors or water meters or whatever they are.
Is there one central place where you pick up these little add-ons? Do you go to Radio Shack?
Anywhere. Actually, sometimes I go to Radio Shack, and Radio Shack's kind of, getting cool again because the maker movement, all of a sudden now they've got Arduinos in there and all kinds of good stuff.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, you can go to Radio Shack and pick things up. I just picked up an RGB LED, and a little tiny LED that you can turn it whatever color you want.
Uh-huh.
I just went and picked one up for $3 at Radio Shack. But you can also go to places like sparkfun.com and Adafruit. And those types of websites have some really good stuff. If you happen to have an Edison or want to go get an Edison, go get one on SparkFun. That's the site I recommend.
And how much do they cost?
They're about $50.
That's it?
And then the modules are a bit more. And there's a dev board that's a little bit more. But the core chip itself, about $50. So that's not bad. Anyway, if you have one and you want to figure out how to set it up, just go to codefoster.com. That's my address. Mm-hmm. codefoster.com/Edison, and I'm working on a whole series of posts, and the first two are already up.
Awesome.
So there
awesome.
You go.
And once you get to a point in your project where it's beginning to be really interesting, maybe you should do a Kickstarter and get some money. And
there you go. Actually, with this board, you can create something that's semi-prototype. I mean, it's not going to have a big board with a breadboard and all kinds of wires hanging off of it, because the thing can be so darn compact, you know?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why don't you tell us about your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is the Microsoft Ventures Accelerator that's happening here in Redmond. And here's a little picture that I put together representing most of the companies. So what an accelerator is, what a startup accelerator is really a program where aspiring startups would apply to be part of. And over the course of 4 months, they would develop an idea, business development, tech development, and all that good stuff. And at the end, these companies will present their work to investors and to the public, typically in hopes of raising money to go for the next run, if you will. Now, so I'm very excited about all these products that we're talking about, things from like Novi covering security to Sentry that is a more like an all-in-one monitoring a solution for your home. We've got Chai Energy, which helps you monitor your energy consumption in terms of dollars and stuff like that. And their research is telling us that the average family just throws away about $300 a year. So they will tell you, hey, look, why is your stove on? Why is that plug in the wall socket? It's just like it's a vampire. It's sucking electricity. And some really, really other cool stuff. All of them are my favorites, don't get me wrong, but now ISI Technology on the right side is an interesting one. They are a water heating solution that I think will take over will replace a lot of the water heaters that we know of today, even the tankless solutions, because they are heating waters by passing current through the water itself and using the mineral in the water to heat up the water. So it's really, really interesting. The CEO of the company is actually the co-founder of Blue Rhino Propane Tank Exchange.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah. So this is his second, what we like to call unicorn, I think. It will be a unicorn. Unicorn meaning a startup idea or business that just takes off.
Yeah.
So I dare say that Blue Rhino was a unicorn. I suspect this will be a unicorn, the second unicorn for Jerry, the CEO. So why I brought this up is because at the time of this taping, in a couple of days, these 10 teams are going to hit their demo day. Yeah. They're going to be in Seattle. They're going to talk about their hard work. And almost all of them on Azure or some sort of stack in some capacity. They're using Xamarin. They're using .NET. They're using Event Hub, you know, stuff like that. So
yeah.
So these guys are preparing their decks and their presentation as we speak. So my pick of the week.
Groovy. Oh, I think that's it.
I think that is it.
We're out. All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to this week on Channel 9. We look forward to the next time. Take care.
Bye-bye.